Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is February 15th, 2023. We're here to talk AEW Dynamite as they inch closer towards AEW Revolution. We are getting closer to WWE Elimination Chamber. We're going to have tons of coverage this week. I don't know what is going on your mic, Alex.
It's gone now.
Yeah, it's gone now. But hey, you guys are here. We appreciate you. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Donate a super chat. Donate a humper chat. It will get your question or statement read on the air. Caden says, so I had a good night, I guess. MJF threw gum at him. Yep. So, yeah, that happened. That existed. Spit it at Caden as he should. Yep. But, guys, leave us a thumbs up. We have just an insane amount of content this week on Fightful ahead of Elimination Chamber and Battle in the Valley. In addition to our nightly shows that we have and the Elimination Chamber shows, you know, we got a bunch of stuff on Select as well. But Kevin Knight spoke with Grapsody. I'm speaking with Tom Lawler this week. Bread Club spoke with Royce Isaacs. I spoke with Austin Theory, who started a fight. He literally booked the match that we saw on Monday. During our interview, Austin Theory started a fight with Street Profits and Judgment Day. Then they had a match on Monday. Mm-hmm. So he's doing that. We're going to have some more interviews coming from Montreal this week, but just an insane amount of stuff that we have here on Fightful. And you know, I'll plug FightfulSelect.com a little bit later on. Also, we had Jeff Jarrett on the Wrestling Perspective podcast. We'll tell you more about that later. Bako5 kicks us off with a super chat and says, the show felt pointless. Raw was better, unfortunately. I wouldn't say pointless, but it felt like a show. It felt like a show where if you watched this review or you read the results, you didn't really need to watch it.
Yeah, last week I said the highs were in the stratosphere and the lows were at the bottom of the ocean for me. This just felt like a flat line. Like it was basically like a brownish green meadow at sea level for the entire show. So like nothing great and nothing terrible, just there. You know, which is fine, I suppose, but I like a few hills and valleys.
Well, guys, this is a valley. But the Acclaimed and Orange Cassidy defeated Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal, Satnam Singh, and Sanjay Dutt. I love seeing Sanjay Dutt just working again, even though he has said when he tore his Achilles, he knew his career was over.
Right.
He knew that he was hanging him up. Good to see Jeff Jarrett smiling.
Yes.
He lost his father this week. His father had some immeasurable contributions, helped found TNA, which is still around today.
Yeah.
I was glad to see him there and with a smile on his face doing what he loved. That made me very, very happy. We send our love to the family, friends, fans of Jerry Jarrett as well. But by the way, guys, just so you know, if you spam our chat with the same question, not only will you get banned, but I ain't going to answer it. You can donate a super chat or humper chat. to get your question or statement read on the air and not get banned like that guy did. But acclaimed Orange Cassidy won. I kind of liked how long the finish took to set up here because it was Sanjay, and Sanjay's not an active competitor. No. So it was okay that he was held in that for a long time. What did this match do for you, if anything, besides put Jay Lethal on TV, which seems to be a requirement?
Listen, I think that there is absolutely a place for the 8-man tag at a house show where everybody gets in the ring and then jockeys for which guy is in the ring to face which guy. And they get in the ring like, no, I want that guy. And the guy says, oh, you want me to tag in this guy? Oh, should I tag him in? All right, crowd, I'll tag in this guy. And that guy tags in. But the guy that's in there says, no, I don't want to face that guy. I'm going to tag my own partner in. I think that's a fun thing to do for a house show. See if you can pop the crowd, get a little interaction. It's a weird thing to do that match on television at all, but especially to like kick off the night, to like get a bunch of energy going. Like, just, I don't know, guys like Sanjay tagging out to Satnam Singh so they can tag in Billy Gunn, but Billy Gunn doesn't actually get tagged in. Somebody else gets tagged in, and it's like, that felt like it lasted 6-7 minutes of this match. It's not the way I want to spend my time watching wrestling television.
They announced later on that they're going to have a casino battle royale and then the Rampage battle royal to determine a triple threat match for the tag team titles. That sounds cool. That sounds really, really good.
Well, not just triple threat.
Well, I know they
have added themselves in. So now
they added themselves in. They said, we're exercising our rematch clause, which I didn't know was a thing. And I turned into the dog PTSD meme.
Yes.
I was like, oh, automatic rematch clauses. I hated those so much, Alex. And I legitimately like hadn't thought about rematch clauses in so long because nobody really did them besides WWE. And it as lazy as WWE was under Vince McMahon, it was even lazier like 3 or 4 years ago because, you know, you would have, you know, Alexa Bliss would lose her championship and then immediately, you know, what the next pay-per-view match is and you know, she's losing that too.
Mm-hmm.
And it would always happen. It would always happen. So I hope that's not like a regular thing because I don't want AEW to fall into that. I feel like it's just something that Bowen said.
It wasn't an automatic rematch, which was the case for WWE.
Yeah.
This was apparently Anthony Bowens and Max Caster saying, oh, no, it's not going down like that. You guys blatantly cheated to take our titles. We are getting a rematch. And I kind of like that they have the stroke to be able to do that. Like, they were the champs. They're hugely over. It feels like something Tony Khan would agree to if they knocked on his door and said, listen, I know we don't do rematches all the time, but we want a rematch. Because I know you saw that match, and that was bull, what happened. So we're not standing for that. That feels like something that they would agree to. But instead of, like, explaining all the steps, they said, we're invoking our rematch clause, which, it's okay. I'm fine with them being there. I am, however, not fine with who at least from who they showed on the graphic, the first battle royal to determine one of the four teams in there. If you look at that graphic,
who's that? Like,
the graphic includes the Best Friends. It includes Butcher and the Blade, which I would super jazzed for either.
Love Butcher and Blade. Love them.
I think they're great. It shows the Lucha Bros, who we just saw back again tonight, which would be awesome. But throwing them into this whole thing out of left field seems kind of like not what AEW normally does. The one team that's on that graphic that makes me nervous is Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett.
Because
they just can't seem to get away from this title picture.
Just have Mark Briscoe win it by himself.
Oh, it should be. It should be.
Mr. Showtime says Doja Cat for life. Yeah, Doja Cat's going to be on the 2K23 soundtrack as curated by John Cena. Fightful had posted about that. today. We had a Bryan Danielson video. He's bloodied. He's beaten. He's coming for Max.
He's never been scarier than he is with a face full of dried blood. Oh, my God.
It was great. It's great stuff. He was channeling some Bruiser Brody there. Like, I saw that. It's so funny. I joked when he won the title that he was like, at WrestleMania, he was cosplaying as like mini Berserker. He had furry boots and the big beard. He was saying yes instead of huss. And yes. It's like, you know what? He wrestles a lot tougher than the Berserker did. Because the Berserker would just hit the ring and swing a sword that you knew was never going to connect. Yeah. But Bryan is throwing his knees and feet at people and actually connecting. Yeah. I love this. But after that, MJF came out to the ring, introduced Christopher Daniels. And he's going to have Christopher Daniels, who still has the eye thing.
Still got the eye thing, man.
Still got the eye thing. He's going to have him bury Bryan Danielson. And Christopher Daniels pulls out the wad of money, and he's like, he paid me a lot of money to come out here and say terrible things. And there's an element of this that I like, because MJF says, I turned on these people before they could turn on me, and now I don't care what they think. But he is overtly paying somebody to influence the crowd. So I feel like there's an element of this, because I don't think that MJF is just going to go out there and just say these things that contradict themselves without a reason. Mm-hmm. I think deep down, he wants people to love him. But he doesn't, I don't know if he's got the confidence in himself as a human being to not be anything but a piece of shit. He's paying somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To bury and another person.
I also love the Christopher Daniels. Could have just said no. But he took the money so that he could come out to the middle of the ring and do a swerve on MJF to make him look extra assholey.
Yeah.
Like, That's how you know you're working with a veteran who knows that it's much better to make the guy think you're coming down there to do the job that you were paid to do, but instead you're going into business for yourself. That's how you know you're working with a real vet. I thought this was a really, really good use of Christopher Daniels. I thought he nailed his part in it. And I thought MJF got to be suitably a dickhead about everything, kicks him in the dick, slaps him in the salt of the earth, and Danielson gets to make the save. It's a good use of what this is. Was it spectacular? No, it was good. It was a fine little use of this time to progress the story going toward Revolution. Good, fine.
Cody says, where can I get a reliable VPN? Well, fortunately for you, you can go to nordvpn.com/Fightful. Whether it be this AEW pay-per-view coming up or this UFC pay-per-view that happened this past weekend, nordvpn.com/Fightful has you covered. It's got the fastest VPN in the world. It's got that online threat protection. It's got all those tools that allow you to browse safely, securely, and anonymously. You can protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, secure every device you own, no matter what kind of device that it is. You are safe from disruption. There's 24/7 support. There's a global server network, threat protection, reliable encryption, and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of their great tiers and on top of their great deal in general. Whether you want a pass, a locker, a VPN, or just all three, NordVPN.com/Fightful has you covered. You want this. It's the same thing that Wired and Huffington Post and BuzzFeed and Forbes, TED and BBC are all talking about. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Mink. Inferno Fireboy says, I have that belt underneath the Fightful custom belt. Yeah, that is a very common, like, belt used on the indies, and that's one that I won on a very, very, very low level independent promotion. Tom LaValle says, regarding rematch clause, I want to see MJF lose the title several times this year, but immediately getting a rematch every time and winning it back. That I would kind of like that, because that's far more unpredictable than yes. what we expect out of him, right?
Right. I would guess the several times would make it more predictable by the end, but I would like nothing more than to him for him to be walking into December, the seven-time AEW world champion. Just like bragging about it would be really, really great.
It's like me with the Quizlemania title. Like, as soon as I win it, I immediately try to lose it. I ain't trying to spend 3 hours on a Wednesday doing quizzes. But you know what? I want to rack up those wins.
Yes.
Mr. Showtime says, MJF is so good at not letting the crowd get to him. He's one of the few, if maybe the only, that can talk through anything. Chef's kiss. Well, I thought it was great that this crowd was giving it to him while he was talking. It added an awful lot to his promo, I thought.
Yeah.
Sawyer says that he really enjoyed the MJF promo and the cool lighting they had during it. Don't know if that was a production botch, but I dug the vibes. I feel like that was concentrated, and I like that too. TNA used to do that. They would turn down the lights a lot when a wrestler was talking in the ring. And I think that's a good approach.
Yeah.
I like that. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
DeShire says, Jay White isn't Cole's opponent, is it? Well, I don't know who Adam Cole's opponent is. I don't know if there's even one planned. I mean, listen, I love Adam Cole. Personally, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. Professionally, he's amazing. He said nothing. He said nothing. And to me, this is just my hunch. It's not a report. I feel like they went, Sasha, Mercedes ain't going to be here. We got to bring somebody. So they had him, and he's barely been on screen since. He's been around. That's great. He's the type of guy you absolutely want in your locker room. But he's like, don't know when I'm coming back. Not telling anybody. I don't know. Hope it's at Revolution. But again,
right. I mean, like that little,
I don't
that
want
little...
him wrestling. If he's not good to go, I don't want him to wrestle.
The vignette that they ran a couple of times, like, whenever I get back in the ring, whoever it's against, what event it's going to be at, and the camera panned over to a sign that said Revolution, I feel like it's probably going to be at Revolution. But I will say that every time he does a thing that is in some kind of way, maybe like, I don't know, self-deprecating, but like, hey, you know what? I'm feeling good. Every day is a victory. Every day that I can look to my right with my right eye and it doesn't twitch, that's a good thing. And I'm like, dude, it's like, it's a good thing it doesn't do that anymore, but that it was ever doing it and that it was doing it recently makes me worry for you, sir. Like, I just hope that, like, it's a thing, like, this was a thing that was happening months ago, but he can reference it and it could be a thing to build, you know, sympathy so that when he has his match, whoever he has it against, he's going to sell being horribly concussed. And those are the sells that I hate the worst. You can fake me out about your knee injury or your back injury all you want. Oh, I came into the ring with kinesio tape on my shoulder. That rotator cuff's giving me problems. That's yeah. fine. But as soon as you start stumbling around in the ring and not being able to focus, then I go, no. Don't pretend CTE. Just don't do that. That's the thing that makes me go all oogie. I don't like that.
So, Cody Bondra says, get any texts about the Thunder Rosa meeting? Yeah, obviously we did. We broke the news on FightfulSelect.com today and have a lot of the details that last week when Thunder Rosa returned to the company after an injury, they held a major backstage meeting with all the women on the roster. Not only did I have that story up on FightfulSelect.com, but I talked about it on the What Do You Guys Want to Talk About podcast on Fightful Select. So head over there for that. We also had the match order for tonight's AEW Dynamite, and we had early notes from Jeremy Lambert's interview with Mouse, who is Billy Stark's father, on Fightful Select. We're going to have more production notes from AEW. Now we're getting those every week, so you can find out who coaches and producers are. Backstage notes as well. I'm going to give you guys a look at what is actually on those prop WWE contracts, like what Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar had. I've been taking a lot of temperatures in WWE and AEW of late about a lot of stuff. We have some really good stories coming up. I got a follow up on that report that Triple H was like disappointed in some of the WWE talent. We're going to cover that on Fightful Select very, very soon as well. Inferno Fireboy says AEW definitely dropping the ball with the Adam Cole return. It feels like there hasn't been a lot of follow up from it.
It was yet to be seen. I certainly thought this, you know, sit down with Renee was going to lead to the teasing of at least one specific name for his return match. And I think it's one of those things that whoever it is got to be a big name, and it's got to be somebody they can take a loss. And those are difficult to find. You know what I mean? Like, you got to find the right guy to be that opponent. Maybe they haven't found it yet, or maybe they're trying to narrow down somebody who's like through the forbidden door or whatever. I'm not really sure, but I wish the world for Adam Cole. I think he's great and such a great dude, and I want to see him back and healthy.
Mox and Claudio defeat Roosh and Vance. Roosh is just in another gear right now. So good, this guy is, when I saw his work in ROH, honestly, there wasn't a lot there that inspired me. And then I see his work here. And I mean, I had seen his work in Mexico and it was categorically different too, but he's in another gear right now. And I think Preston Vance is going to learn a lot working with him. Like, I think that's going to be fantastic. This match was exactly what it needed to be. It was very violent, very rough. It was not pretty. And I love the finish that Mox used. The Jujigatami with the chain. And of course he's bleeding. If he's breathing, he's bleeding.
Of course.
This is one of those things that I watched on the show and I went, hell yeah, this is what I'm all about.
I think this was really good. I think that you're right that Preston Vance can only get better being around Roosh. Not just because of how great Roosh is, but because I feel like Vance still has so much. So I think he has an incredible amount of potential, but he's low on that spectrum right now. Like, he feels very much like a creator wrestler that you just grabbed off the thing with, didn't do anything to, and threw him out there with a couple of moves. He's just very generic. Like, I don't get anything about him as this thing. And there was some stuff that he did in this thing I thought was pretty cool. He did the Big E spear through the ropes to the outside, which is always a I hope they don't die type of move. So,
well, I mean, that's the thing. I think that his upside is a lot closer to Big E than it is Luther Reigns. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. Like, the thing of it is that he's not just, I think, right, like, you look at him and you go, okay, I've seen literally 100 guys like you.
Yes.
You know? So what do you do to stand out from the way you carry yourself in the ring? and he's getting better and better and better. It's very funny to me to watch a match like this where I think Roosh is at the top of his game and somehow improving. And then you got him across the ring from Moxley and Claudio, two of the best to ever do it. And then you got Preston Vance, who is obviously far down that totem pole. But I see where you could look back at this match in 5 years and go, how far that guy has come, you know?
Sure. For sure. Love this. So Moxley, this I think we're probably better off going straight into the Hangman thing that ended up happening, because I think that just kind of works a little bit, a little bit better. So Hangman's watching this and he gets jumped backstage. Mm-hmm. He's got a match later on in the night against Kip Sabian, but he's getting jumped. And it looked like, is he going to be able to make it? I don't know. But Dark Order comes to his aid and all that. He works the match with Kip Sabian. Kip Sabian, by the way, I just want to say, I think is an incredibly underrated performer. Nobody looks like him. He's got great charisma. He's good in the ring. I like the presentation. I've been waiting for like 4 years for him to get his shot. Don't know if it's going to happen. At this point, he might be just where he is. But Hangman Page gets the win. You knew he was going to get the win, even though he was beat to death. The result of this match was never in doubt.
Right. I like Sabian as well. I specifically like him a lot paired with Butcher and the Blade.
Oh, me too.
I love those two guys.
Great contrast.
They feel like the villains in like a post-apocalyptic movie where the one guy's got the shock of like gray hair, even though he's way too young to have it. And then he's got these two psychopaths with him who just kill everybody. And then there's like the two hot chicks who just walk around. Like they're a team that our hero has to come up against in like a far-flung Mad Max sequel that hasn't even been scripted yet. These are the bad guys. I think it's really cool. There's a really cool aesthetic to them. And if you ever really got around to creating a legitimate defined trios division, Kip Sabian and the Butcher and the Blade is a really fun type of a team to be out there wrestling like Top Flight and the NAR Fox and the Elite and House of Black and all these people. I think there'd be something really cool there.
I love this match too, by the way. I like the match really good in general. Yeah.
I like the match. Richie, I like the match a lot. Hangman Page continues to impress me all the time. Like he's never not present. That's a thing that you learn about in acting class is just being present, even in the moments where you're not supposed to be doing anything. He's always present and living in that moment all the time, no matter what he's doing, selling on offense. The little quiet moments away from the action, he's always present. He's such a great professional wrestler.
Richie says, Hangman Page versus Kip Sabian ruled. It's awesome seeing Kip kill it in the ring. Hang in there with someone as protected as Hangman. Hopefully we get to see him more going forward. It's so funny because in ROH, I didn't see it with Hangman Page. But 4 years ago when I was at Double or Nothing and I'm talking to Kip Sabian, I saw it with him. Mm-hmm. So it's just wild the way that careers can go.
Yeah.
And let's talk about this post-match because this was good shit, I thought. You've got the BCC in the ring with Hangman Page, and Moxley doesn't need the BCC. That's the thing. They're just there. Like, this is what I like about AEW that we see so much. It's the choose-your-own-adventure thing. Who's the heel? Whoever the hell you want it to be. Right. Whoever you feel deserves it in that situation. And Dark Order come out, and Hangman is beside himself. He's so frustrated. He doesn't want them to do that. And Uno said, I don't even give a damn. I don't care. He's like, we've got your back. You're our friend, whether you want to admit it or not, and whether you want to tell everybody or not. Moxley did so good here dismissing Uno. Like, yeah. Uno's trying to be threatening, and like all of us, we know that Uno means it. And we know what Uno's been through. Uno has been through a lot. Uno has lost his tag team partner, has lost his leader, has lost almost everybody around him. He's not on the show anymore. He's got very little left. I mean, you're seeing him try to hold on to what he has left. And Moxley doing these little dismissive things are going to be good, because I think that they're really going to show, like, that they can do what it is that they say they're going to do here.
Yeah.
And then Mox says, fine, Texas death match. Let's go.
Saying it around Evil Uno is the best part of it. Evil Uno versus Moxley one-on-one next week. It's a very odd thing, because normally you would have this whole thing of Hangman wanting the match, and of Moxley wanting the match, but Hangman saying no, and then I'm gonna beat up your friend until you give me your match. Like, that's usually the case, but I love that Uno and the Dark Order come out to like have Hangman's back, and Hangman doesn't want him there. The thing that there's such a Moxley and Hangman are mirror images of each other in so many ways. You were right. Moxley's out there with his boys just because they're there, and that's cool. This is my boy Claudio. This is my boy Yuta. We're out here, and he doesn't give a damn what you think of him or the fact that his boys are with him. Hangman, though, when the Dark Order comes out, he is so scared people are going to think that he needs a posse with him to take on Moxley. But he's like, no, this isn't your fight. I can do this on my own. He wants to be seen as this guy who doesn't need anybody else. But the thing about Hangman is, the story of Hangman is, he always is better when he's got his friends with him. And he wants so badly to be that lone wolf cowboy, but really he's better when he's got the gang with him. And there's this really cool overarching story they can tell with Hangman. It's really cool.
Irene says, the Mox bleeds too much discord, has morphed into being funny to annoying, and now there's silly folks hate watching just to complain about it. I mean, those people get some bitches, touch some consensual cheeks, do something, please.
Yeah.
Showtime says, Uno's getting bloody next week. I'm here for it. Oh, yeah, that will be good.
Yeah.
Mr. Showtime says, do you think they have their own blood bank backstage for Mox? He bleeds every match now. Is he blading or just going that hard all the time? I don't think he blades all the time. I think that sometimes he just gets busted open. Jennifer says, I didn't realize how much I missed Evil Uno with the mic in hand. Love him so much. So excited for this. Check out our interview we have in the Fightful YouTube archives here. YouTube.com/Fightful. Meat Normus says, sirloin beef sons of bitches match of the night for Meat. The combo with the Dark Order has the possibility of Meat Man Johnny Hungy mixing up with Claudio. Get the hose. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. John Silver is like a 180-pound sirloin beef sons of bitch.
I thought that was going to be the match next week. Yeah. A six-man between the BCC and the Dark Order, with Hangman not wanting the match to take place. Like, that kind of a thing. But I'm fine with this as well. Also, like, my ultimate thing that I want is for all of this to lead to Claudio versus Hangman Page for the ROH world title. Because that's one that Hangman never got to hold. And that would be a really cool thing if you said, okay, we're getting this TV in March. We're getting this show now going on. If you were saying we're gonna build it around that feud, Claudio versus Hangman, that would not be a bad thing to do.
I want to see John Silver versus Tomohiro Ishii on the Forbidden Door pre-show. Inferno Fireboy says, Mox Blades looks at him blading. Look at him blading on the camera. Yeah, sometimes he does. Obviously, yeah. Sure. Fallob says, somewhat related. Any news on Santana's recovery? My guys, same thing with Chris. Like, that's a year-long injury. The ACL, if you're lucky, 10, 11, 12 months.
Yeah.
Anime Otaku says, Bunnelope should be women's tag champs when they bring those belts in. Just hoping that Bunny is okay after last week. That was rough.
Yeah, me too.
We got the guns video. It was smarmy enough and just sarcastic enough. I think they could end up winning this match at Revolution too, Alex.
I mean, yeah, they could because you know, sometimes Tony likes to troll us. if one of the four teams is FTR and FTR is going to re-sign, then that's the way you go. Like because they have history with the Guns. They already had that really great match with the Acclaimed. It remains to be seen who the fourth team in there would be if it was FTR in there. I could see them deciding we're going to run with the Guns for a while. I think it would be a colossal error because I just don't think that they're at that point right now. I don't see that with them. I think Austin Gunn has a lot of potential. Colton less so, but I think Austin Gunn has a lot of potential. It's just not there yet. They've been wrestling together for a year. You say that and they're like, but look how good we are. Well, look how good you're being booked to be. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you guys are great. Good. But they put the titles on you and you've only been together for a year. You twist it around. Maybe I would think that you've only been together for a year. They shouldn't have put the titles on you yet. That's my own personal thing. But
Inferno Fireboy says, any update on Jay White? Yeah, we have one on FightfulSelect.com this past week. You guys should subscribe. It's the best $5 subscription in the business.
Mm-hmm. It is.
The contract is up sometime between Battle in the Valley and WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Jambeard says, correction, Sean, she's the demo god bunny. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mark Briscoe defeated Josh Woods. Man, every time Josh Woods is in there, I realize he's a big old boy. Man,
he is.
He's a big old boy.
He got some thighs on him. Like, he could squat you to the moon.
Doug, this match, it was to get Mark Briscoe a win. Yeah. And it was a way for Tony Khan to tweet the Mark Briscoe is All Elite graphic.
Hell now, yeah, he is.
They have been signed. The Briscoes had been signed for about 6-7 months mm-hmm. because I did a media call with Tony Khan and I said, hey, is there anybody that just happens to be signed that we don't know about? Mm-hmm. And he was very excited to say, yeah, the Briscoes are. We got them under a contract so people can stop reaching out to them. But I don't know if this is a new deal or anything. I'll work to find out a little bit more. Like the match, Joe or Mark got the win. Only thing I don't like seeing is like when Josh was winding up with strikes, I could see, like you can see that coming from a mile mm-hmm. away. But I'll tell you what I love that Josh Woods does, that goddamn spinning suplex off the apron to the floor. Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah. Boy. We also have the Lucha Brothers coming out to help Mark Briscoe, who was very shocked about this.
Yeah.
What'd you think about that?
It's great to see Lucha Bros back. I enjoyed just the idea of, you know, old just vets just loving and wanting to work more with Mark Briscoe and having his back. Yeah, Lucha Bros just getting some more time back in the ring now. It feels like, I mean, I guess it was what, January? So about a month ago that they lost the Trios titles to the Elite, and then they just been done off TV. Which again, if they don't have anything for them, like basically like saying, hey, go back to Mexico for three weeks, have a vacation, is better to me than like just hanging out doing nothing. Like this is that's the perfect time for them to go away for a month. They just lost the titles. They go away, have a vacation, little rolling off season. That's perfect for them to get any little nagging things they got healthy, and now they're back to do whatever they're gonna do. I'm happy about that. I love Mark Briscoe. I just love just his whole energy in the ring is so contagious. I love the Froggy Bow. I'm a sucker for the Froggy Bow. More Froggy Bows.
Yeah, I love that move. That shit is amazing. Chi-Town Spurs says, God, I love this Mad Chicken Farmer. I mean, there's a whole lot of people that are just now getting exposed to Mark Briscoe and the legend of Jay Briscoe as well. And that's pretty cool. Orion Ben says, Mark Briscoe is made for TV. He got Laredo rolling. Yeah, he did. Jambeard says, give me Josh Woods, Chad Gable, pure rules mm-hmm. match. I feel like Josh told me one time that he and Gable used to like grapple around and stuff because Josh Woods has an MMA background. Just a fantastic fighter in general. Jambeard says Mark Briscoe officially All Elite. He got the graphic. Reach for the sky, boy. And Harry SeaWorld says Mark Briscoe is a star. Had the live crowd in the palm of his hand. Was captivating to a TV audience. And gave production plenty of time to capture those fantastic facial expressions. More, please. I'm so glad he's on TV. I mean, you know, the thing is, Alex, he's on TV. He might have to clean himself up a little bit.
Maybe.
Those facial expressions can be accentuated even more with Harry's. If you're on the road like I am or at home, you want to make sure you get a good shave. You want to make sure that you're taking care of yourself. And you can do that with Harry's Razors. Harrys.com/Fightful. The Truman Shave Trial Set is a $15 value for just $3 at Harrys.com/Fightful. They got that great razor. It's German engineered. It's got 5 blades. It's got that weighted handle. You got the foaming shave gel, a travel cover. That way, when you're on the road, like I am right now, you can make sure that you get your shave and not lose all your stuff. You'll be able to put it in that travel cover, take it right with you. You can schedule replacement blades whenever you need them with refills as low as $2. Harrys.com/Fightful. They went and got a German blade factory. That way they could bring you the best shave possible. They have the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry. And what I love, they're offering a no-risk trial. If for some reason you don't like your shave, it's on them at Harrys.com/Fightful. What are you waiting for? Make yourself look good. Look like this. You want to look like this, don't you? Harrys.com/Fightful. Ricardo says, yo, Select is the best $5 I spend. Mm-hmm. Not just the exclusive news, which you get at least twice a day. At least twice a day, you are getting show rundowns, producer info, backstage news, exclusive reports. You're getting early notes from interviews, all that good stuff. But you're getting like over 30 podcasts a month, too. And 1,500 shows in the archives, just $5. Promise you guys that stretches an awful long way, and I got no plans on increasing that price, but I do have constant plans to add stuff to Fightful Select. So Jungle Boy Jack Perry defeated Brian Cage. Again, Brian Cage is having the best in-ring run I think of his career. He has a lot of very important people in his corner right now as well. Like pushing for him. Holy crap. That dive where he just caught Jungle Boy. Like, I don't care the size discrepancy. Jungle Boy was getting it. Mm-hmm. And Brian Cage is like, no, I'm just going to catch you in a crucifix bomb under the apron.
Mm-hmm.
Just unbelievable. Brian Cage has put it all together at the right time. It's about contract time for him. So he could not have had a better time to put all this together, in my opinion, Alex.
Right. He hasn't been this impressive since he was kayfabe wearing an invincibility gauntlet in Lucha Underground. He was wearing a metal gauntlet that gave him magical powers, and he was not as powerful then as he is right now. I think this is really good. It's a great I loved the finish. Because Jungle Boy hit him with everything and then didn't just pin him. He put him in a maestral cradle, like an actual real pinning combination, because just laying your weight across the chest of Brian Cage isn't going to keep the man down for three. That is to me as a cool of a little detail of how you protect a guy in a loss as passing out in a hold rather than tapping out. And like the guy doesn't just pin you. He has to like leverage you up so that you can't possibly kick out of the pinfall after he hit you with like three big moves. That's how you protect a guy in a match like this while giving Jungle Boy the victory. One of the moves I always love, it's so simple, but I always love Cage's sit out Alabama slam, because it always looks so much more impactful. I thought this was a really fun, really good match. Like, both guys looked really good in it. And then, of course, we got the big news of the night happened right after.
It did happen right after, and I really enjoyed the match. Before we get into that, Full White says, off topic, but is Brian Cage related to the great Chris Kanyon? He's always using the who's better saying, just curious. Kanyon was very, very instrumental in Brian Cage's career. Brian Cage actually appeared on the Dark Side of the Ring about Chris Kanyon and has spoken, says that a lot of the stuff that he does is like in tribute to Chris Kanyon. Chris Kanyon was one of his trainers. He became a friend of his. Like, Chris Kanyon would like push for him to pursue his wrestling career. They wrestled each other. They did an awful lot of stuff together. Kanyon would give him advice all the time. So, I mean, yeah, like, Kanyon is, they're not related, but very, very influential. I mean, Kanyon, I think, let Cage play the Mortis character at one point, which was very, very cool as well. Yeah. But then Christian Cage comes out. And Jungle Boy is like, what the hell? And runs towards Christian Cage, who has a sling on. But Christian maces him. Maces him. Mm-hmm. And then removes his little sling. Now, Luchasaurus has not been seen. And also, Luchasaurus has a lawsuit over his mask going on right now, which is, you know, weird and sucky. But Christian Cage hasn't wrestled since September and wrestled. He hasn't really wrestled since early August. So he's been nursing this injury for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. He's back. He's healthy. Hits the kill switch, the unprettier, on Jack Perry on the ramp. We're getting this at Revolution, I would say. It's hard to believe we aren't, because this was supposed to happen at All Out, and unfortunately it was a squash.
I think this is the perfect way to do this. They've done a really good job of keeping it about Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus for a while. Then that was cleared, and then Jungle Boy had some stuff to do. He was teaming with they invented Jungle Hook for him to give him something to do. And now it's right. Like, Christian being back, you know, that was always going to come to a head whenever he was healthy again. And I'm looking forward to whatever they do with this. I also think that whenever Luchasaurus is back, the way to go is to have him show up and have Christian be like, ah, my pet dinosaur. But he's had a change of heart, and he's the guy who helps Jungle Boy finally get over it. I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
I do too. I'm so glad Christian is back. I mean, Edge's contract should be up within the year. That's interesting. Bully Ray's still out there wrestling as well. Hardy Boys are in AEW. You know, it is kind of a bummer to me that D-Von, you know, can't wrestle anymore. But where's Spike? Let's find Spike. Let's get him in there. Come on.
Where are the rest of the Dudleys from ECW? Are
those some of them are dead.
Somewhere? Yeah,
some of them are dead. Let me see.
I know some of them are dead.
I want to see who's alive. Let's see who's alive. There is. There is. Oh, geez. There was Dudley Dudley, of course.
Yeah.
Sign Guy Dudley is actually working for Impact now, I believe. Yeah. But Spike, I think, could probably still do a match at some point. Big Dick Dudley, RIP, he died in 02.
Yeah.
I don't think Chubby Dudley was much of an in-ring performer, but he's still with us. There's Dances with Dudley, who I haven't heard doing anything of late. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of these guys probably ain't going to come back. But Spike could. I believe in Spike. He did an interview with Chris Van Vliet a few years ago, so he's still connected to the biz. Listen, I'll take it. I would love it. I mean,
it's the only way I'll accept Bully Ray on AEW programming at this point is just if he's attached to that match.
I, like, you know, they say that you romanticize things that maybe weren't as good as when you're child. I loved the TNN era of ECW. I loved it. I would tune in every week waiting to see Spike Dudley hit the acid drop on Sal E. Graziano or whatever big ass dude they could throw in front of him. And I would watch his matches with Mike Awesome. Give me that. Give me Spike doing a little bit of something there. But Jane Beard also says, for someone who hasn't watched Lucha Underground, sounds like Cage was basically Thanos. There were a few people who were basically Thanos on that show, though.
Mil Muertes was basically Thanos without the gauntlet. He was an invincible Mexican zombie.
Yeah. Alyssa Leggett.
Pretty good show.
Wonderful Alyssa, who loves seeing, causing a stir on Twitter all the time, saying, happy to see Mark Briscoe is all elite. It is great to see that.
Yeah.
Alan says, thoughts on the JR sit down with Wardlow. Wardlow gave the history of his father and how his father pushed him into athletics and helped get him to where he was. And unfortunately, he left the world way too early, but did get to see Wardlow's first match. Mm-hmm. This was geared more towards Samoa Joe, and it was a way to get Samoa Joe, put some heat on there. That felt a little bit maybe forced to me from that angle. Like, I loved hearing about Wardlow's past and his father and all that stuff. And hate to hear that he's gone, but the Joe aspect of it, it's like I didn't need that to be the catalyst for this. Like, I could have just learned that all my own and just added some depth to the character.
I like just adding some more fuel to the fire between these two, making it like, you make it personal. It's fine. It's a lot deeper reason to be pissed at Joe for cutting your ponytail because you were growing it out to honor your father who lost all his hair due to chemo, as opposed to, I really liked that man bun and now I'm pissed at you. It's a lot better that I know that there's a real honest to God reason why. And because he says, I told Joe that story of my father. He knew why I grew out the hair and he did that to me anyway. So I'm going to murder Samoa Joe. That adds everything I need going into it. I'm good.
Yeah. Maybe that was sort of glossed over because the way that you put it kind of hammered it home a little bit more. You may have changed my mind on that.
Okay, good.
I think you've changed my mind on that one.
Right.
I think you have. I think at that point, listen, I hate to say this, I feel like JR may have taken me out of it.
It's possible.
He was like, is that so? Huh? And that energy kind of transformed me. So I'm gonna give that a second watch. I'm going to give that a second watch because... I grew up my hair for somebody that cared a lot about me. And when people were like, oh, you hippie, I was like, listen, there's a reason I was doing it. Shut the fuck up.
Right.
So I can relate. I will also beat up Samoa Joe for this reason.
Right.
Elite promo backstage. I don't necessarily like just running back a match just because it was good. But that's what we're going to see here. AR Fox, Top Flight. It's going to be good. About 375,000 people are going to watch it on Rampage. But during this, there is a flash of a House of Black in there. They can't get to this soon enough, in my opinion.
I mean,
but I feel like this should have been built to a little bit more. I want to see some build, but I don't want to see like months build now. They should have been building this for a while. I should have been building it the whole time with the Lucha Brothers.
I mean, if you're going to run a match back, this is a great one to run back because you know these six guys will come up with all new spots and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
That being said, I agree with you. It is kind of weird. It's like, hey, well, this is one that people liked. Let's do it again. And we're going to insult you about balls in order to get our match. Fine. I love the little House of Black flash, but House of Black has been doing stuff like not really, but like the stuff they've been teasing is entirely with Eddie and Ortiz. For them to like, all right, We've successfully made Eddie Kingston embrace his dark side, and now our job here is done. Moving on to the Trios titles is not what I signed up for. You owe me that Malakai Black versus Eddie Kingston match. I demand it, sirs. I want to see House of Black versus the Elite, but it does feel kind of muddy. All the House of Black stuff feels so muddy. It was so clean when Malakai misted Miro in that match for the very first All Atlantic Championship. It was so clean. It was obviously leading to Miro takes out Buddy and takes out Brody on his way to going one-on-one with Malakai Black. And they didn't give that to us. And now they're doing this whole thing with House of Black is getting involved in this Eddie Kingston thing. And it's so obvious. It leads to Eddie Kingston somehow surviving Brody King, somehow getting past Buddy and going right to Malakai. And they're not going to give us that either. And I'm just like, but I want those things. Give those things to me.
Chi-Town Spurs says, wonder if Kenny's visa situation affected the build. Are we finally getting Buddy versus Kenny out of this? I hope so. We need that. We need a good 15-minute match. Listen, that's something that will get me to watch Rampage as it airs. I would absolutely do that. Even without the visa thing, like they could have done some build for it. Mm-hmm. Living Dead sure. Frank says, might be a red herring. House of Black shows up, beat everybody up, and this leads to the Revolution match. Yeah, possibly. But I just don't want it to be like, boom, here they are. Here it goes. I would like to see some depth added to this. Anime Otaku says, I think that promo would have worked better before the turn. I would have loved if they referenced it on the air before. Right. Like, that would have added emotion to the moment.
Yeah.
Jambeard says he's no longer Wardlow. He's Swole Kaz. That's funny. Mm. The Firm interview. I'm liking The Firm a lot lately. Like, I've been watching Dark and stuff. I love Ethan Page and Matt Hardy working together. I like Matt Hardy. I don't know if like that's his own wardrobe or if Ethan Page telling him to wear that.
I think it's fun.
Isaiah moaning in Stokely's ear. Stokely with a cast, whatever the hell it is he was wearing.
Daniel Kaluuya from
yes.
from the Black Panther movie, not the Black Panther movie, but the other Black Panther movie. He was totally dressed up as I'm terrible. Black History Month. I don't know my Black history. I feel so terrible about it. That was a great friggin' movie, and I can't remember the name of it or the name of the character he played. That was so cool that he was just there in the full thing with the hat and everything. I demand justice is the first thing he says, and I'm all on board. Whatever you want to do, Stokely, I'm here for.
Fred Hampton.
Thank you.
Yes. Amazing. This was so good. Stokely forgets that he's hurt a couple times. This was hilarious, but Hook is suspended pending an investigation.
This was Judas and the Black Messiah. Fantastic film. If you've not seen it, go out and watch it.
Oh man, I'm really digging this. This was great stuff. Main event, Ruby Soho defeated Britt Baker and Toni Storm. Now I saw some people say, oh, well, it should be a slam dunk. Ruby should just be on the team WWE side. And I'm like, well, no, they fired her. Mm-hmm. Like, she looks at AEW probably in a much different way than Toni Storm and Saraya did. Yeah. Saraya, like, had options. WWE wanted to keep her, wanted to bring her back. Toni left WWE. Like, this isn't like a team WWE thing necessarily, but it certainly seems a little bit more like that. And Ruby seems more appreciative of kind of what she's got there. So, main event here, this gets a commercial at like 9:54. Mm-hmm. Didn't see half the match. Okay. The finish was very overbooked. Saraya spray paints Tony's ass. And then she does the hip attack. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, all right. And I want to address this. Sean and Alex liked something about most of the segments, but thought the show was missable. Why do people still say this? Mm. Yes, There are things I can like about every segment, but still say it's missable. You know why? I like fucking pro wrestling a lot.
Yeah.
A bad day of pro wrestling is better than a good day of almost anything else for me. Come on.
I will say this. There were things to like and dislike about every segment. That's why everything kind of canceled each other out and became kind of like, all right. And I thought very little of any real storylines were progressed, i.e. this main event, which everyone thought was the main event because we were getting a big story progression. Is wow. Ruby going to pick a side? And the what she chose to do was nothing, which felt kind of like, oh, okay. And it felt like Destination Unknown should be the name of this episode of Dynamite, because we don't know who Adam Cole is wrestling. We like everything else that was already booked for Evolution kind of like is on the same path for that. We don't know who Ruby is choosing, if she's choosing a side. It just kind of like felt like if you missed this episode and then watch next week's, I don't feel like you're going to be lost. That's what I was talking about. That's all.
Same here. And I think you kind of nailed that in the main event. Like, first off, I was surprised they went on so late, and then a commercial right there. It's like, aim the commercials towards the entrances if that's what you're gonna do. Like, Jambeard says a lot of people have been thinking it'll be a stable feud. I think it's a triple threat tag feud, possibly a triple trios feud if you throw Sheeta, Athena, Yuka in there as well. That's a really interesting approach. That is a very interesting approach to go to a tag thing instead of the, you know, the blood and guts direction that a lot of people thought that this was going to go in.
I mean, they can still do blood and guts as like a blow off. And the first thing we really get is at Revolution, you could get Ruby versus Jamie versus Tony. You know what I mean? You could easily get that for the women's title. You could get that match at Revolution. And then they've always done blood and guts on a Dynamite. They've never done it on a pay-per-view. So
correct.
I hope people weren't expecting to get blood and guts at Revolution.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you can put that at Revolution or anything like that. And it's a big Dynamite match. People are Zero Prime's asking where Sheeta. She said she's been dealing with an injury of late, by the way.
Not too bad.
So the main event was, I thought it was an example of the show, honestly. Mm-hmm. Guys, leave a thumbs up. We're going to be here all week, every night this week, but we're here right after Elimination Chamber. Joel Pearl will be on the scene. Alex Pawlowski and Kate will be live on FightfulSelect.com. If you haven't subscribed to FightfulSelect.com, try it 1 month. I promise you're going to enjoy this. You're going to like this. It's got a lot of cool stuff. Alex, tell the people what you do.
This is one of those things because, and I'm going to go a little pitch here, because we have anniversary billing. So you yes. get, you do it today, and then you get it until the 15th of the month next.
Yeah.
Which means you get an extra Sour Graps show at the end of this week for Elimination Chamber, and you get an extra one for Revolution. So you get two more this month than you would normally get. So that's fun if you like me. If you don't, I understand. So like on Friday, because Rampage is early, we're not doing a watch along of Rampage. We'll just do a regular review of SmackDown, the go home in Montreal, whatever, however they're going to set us up to make sure we all accept that there's no way Sami Zayn can win, because they're doing a really good job of that so far this week. So that'll be a lot of fun. Then we're going to do, me and Kate will be out there on Saturday with a review of Elimination Chamber on Fightful Select. So tune in for that.
Yeah, there's a lot of Patreon-based platforms out there that still have the old billing method where if you subscribe today, you'd get billed on the first. Fightful Select is one of the first that has anniversary billing where you'll get billed a full month later. I know that drove some of you nuts for a while, but hey, come on back. Jambeard also says, do Blood and Guts Triple Trios match just like the first NXT War Games was with UE, Sanity, and Roddy and AOP. I'd be completely fine with that as well.
I'm in with that. Fun.
Well, I'm in with all you people. Thank you. Until next time, we're out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.